for Gerald Rose. He fought for Title IX. Gloucester, is Paris lost? Is Rouen yielded up? If Henry were recalled to life again, these news would cause him once more yield the ghost. Exeter, how were they lost? What treachery was used? Messenger, no treachery, but want of men and money. William Shakespeare, Henry VI, Part 1, Act 1, Scene 1. Tout simplement, mon colonel, parce que les hommes les avaient laissés tomber. I took up arms, quite simply, colonel, because the men had dropped them. Marguerite Gonnet at trial, 1942. Part 1, Chapter 1, God Help Us, London. Under the eternal gaze of Admiral Lord Nelson, high on a stone column in the center of London, Mrs. Odette Sansom raced toward her appointment at the War Office. The one-eyed, one-armed hero of Trafalgar got pelted in the rain, a bronze memorial to the glory that was Pax Britannica, many bloody conflicts removed from the London of July 10, 1942. It was the 1,043rd day of the world's worst war. Much of the city lay in ruins, a ragged collection of gaps and edifices, like a child's mouth after a lost tooth. Odette tilted her hat against the unremitting damp and sprinted past the Admiral's brass lions, as if spirit alone could somehow put London to rights, so that it might smile again. Upon meeting Odette, Londoners were confronted with her Gallic elan, her essential Frenchness. She was self-consciously prettier than her English peers. Big chestnut eyes, a fresh complexion framed by dark hair that was pulled high off her heart-shaped face and hung loose down her neck. Her light coat was cinched with a belt, the only burst of color in an otherwise bland London rainscape. The city was full of uniforms, soldiers, sailors, airmen. The entire world had gone drab. Although she had lived in England for much of her adult life, Odette never shed her continental air, nor did she care to. Frosty Britain seemed indifferent to sex, and to women. With an inextinguishable flair for the theatrical, Odette preened and men in khaki swooned. It was said she even smiled in French. The Victoria Hotel was a grand dame on mothballs, requisitioned for war work as the administrative home of the War Office. There were no bellhops to greet Odette. The twinkling chandeliers were packed off to safe storage. The building was dingy and practical, like everything else. There were no dandies sharing cigarettes in the pink marble lobby. It was still busy, but with clerks and sergeants, men in mufti held back from the front, the old, the broken, those unsuited for battle, those too useful to be sacrificed. Someone had to run the war. Odette arrived on account of a typed invitation, her second from the War Office. Dear Madam, your name has been passed to me with the suggestion that you have qualifications and information which may be of value in a phase of the war effort. If you are available for interview, I should be glad to see you at the above address at 1100 hours on Friday, 10th July. Would you let me know whether you can come or not? Yours truly, Selwyn Jepson, Captain. For an unhappily married woman in the third year of the war, the letter on government stationery was rife with potential. At a minimum, Odette's appointment afforded a precious afternoon alone. There was a new film opening in Leicester Square, Mrs. Miniver, the story of how English housewives contribute to the war by coping, how matriarchs move mountains while men are at the front. There was window shopping to do, though, as elsewhere in Europe, very little could be bought under rations on a husband's service pay. At best, the letter might rearrange Odette's life a little. For what qualifications and information could the army need but her native French language skills? Perhaps the War Office sought translators or secretaries. She was not too old to type at speed, or she could write letters to prisoners of war in France. That would be a very worthy service. Odette did not know what would be asked of her, and the captain's note gave away little. If the